Welcome to Action Phase. I'm your host, Tegan Keating. This week, I talk with Lydia Chaudhry of the Humane League of Philadelphia. And the Humane League is an organization that is dedicated to welfare for farm animals. So their whole deal is that they want to create a world where all animals are treated with the same kind of respect as companion animals. So, you know, we all love our dogs and cats, and they really want us to, they want the world to extend that love to all animals, including the animals that are on farms. They're based out of Philly, which is really cool, and they are putting on the first ever Philadelphia Veg Fest on June 14th. And so Lydia and I talk about the Veg Fest and kind of how it came about and what their role is and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about Meatless Monday, which is an initiative that they are a part of, encouraging people to go vegetarian for one day a week. And we also talk about like Lydia's own personal journey into becoming a vegan, and also, you know, why factory farming is not great for the animals or for us, and kind of some of the ethical questions around how we treat animals on farms and things like that. So here she is, Lydia Chaudhry. I'm here with Lydia Chaudhry of the Humane League, which is sponsoring the first ever Philadelphia Veg Fest. And she's here to talk with me about that and all kinds of other things. How are you doing, Lydia?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I'm very glad to be here today.
Yeah, thanks for coming over. So, let's start out by talking a little bit about how you got interested in animal rights, animal activism, however you term it.
Sure. At this point, it would have been close to 20 years ago, I started to learn more about the problems of how almost all of our animal products are raised in this country, the problems of factory farming. There's a lot of ethical issues that became of interest to me, and I started to gradually go vegetarian, and eventually, once I learned about the inherent problems in the dairy and egg industries, I went vegan as well. Mm-hmm. And I've been vegan now for about, I don't know, 16, 17 years. I can't pinpoint the date, but I went into it gradually, and it became such a passion that besides just not eating animal products, I decided I want to get involved in the movement as well. And I have been involved with a number of different organizations that are all basically advocating for farmed animals. But right now, I am most closely associated with the Humane League.
And what does the Humane League do?
Well, the Humane League's mission is to save the lives of as many animals as possible and to reduce as much animal cruelty as we can. So to that end, we have all sorts of outreach and education campaigns. We have humane education campaigns. We distribute informational literature. We get the word out about the problems of factory farming on the internet through online campaigns. It goes on and on. And we are headquartered in Philadelphia, but we have satellite offices now in Boston, Maryland, Dallas, Charlotte, San Francisco, and Seattle.
Wow.
We are growing.
Wow. That's really, I didn't realize that you guys were based out of Philly. Which is great. That's such a good sign for Philadelphia as a whole. Yeah. So because I'm doing this vegan experiment, so I'm interested in hearing what it's been like to be a vegan for the past 15 or 16 years and kind of how you've dealt with some of the social issues and also how things have changed over that time for you. I know that products have become a lot easier to find. You can buy tofu in the Acme now. And I'm sure, you know, 20 years ago, that was a lot harder to do. So yeah, could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. The very first thing that I started doing a lot more when I was committed to going vegan, and again, I want to emphasize that I did it gradually, and that's how I would recommend most people do it. You have a better chance of long-term success if you go into it step by step.
Just like any major change in your life.
Exactly.
You do a little bit at a time.
Right. So I reduced basically one product at a time, and I just started making fewer and fewer exceptions. I probably gave up cheese at the very end. That was more of a challenge. Yeah. And I also kept eating fish for a while before I went 100% meatless. But I would recommend that other people do it step by step. It helps a lot to be willing to learn how to cook a little bit more, to teach yourself how to cook. Even if you're used to cooking conventional foods, it's not that hard to start learning how to veganize recipes.
Right.
And there's never been as many vegan cookbooks out as there are right now. They're just a new one seems to come out every couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you been in Philadelphia this whole time?
In the greater Philadelphia area, yeah.
Okay. So have you seen kind of a culture change
Philly? I have. There has been a dramatic increase in the awareness of what the words vegan and really even vegetarian mean. The restaurant scene is incredibly vegan friendly at this point, and it's not just restaurants that are 100% vegan or vegetarian. It is conventional restaurants that are now very vegan friendly. The staff knows what the word vegans mean. They go out of their way to label the menu specifically. There are options everywhere now. It is a dramatic difference compared to 10, 12 years ago.
Right. After we're done recording today, I'm actually going, there's a new vegan bar that opened up this past weekend.
Yes.
I think it's called Charlie.
Charlie was a sinner.
Yeah. So
fabulous place.
Oh, really?
Have you been already? A sneak peek there. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. Yes.
I'm really looking forward
Terrific.
To it. Yeah. I saw it and I was like, this is perfect. I can go and then I'll know about something that I wouldn't otherwise because I may not have tried it before.
Right.
Which is cool. And I'm bringing a friend of mine who's a devoted omnivore. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about factory farming, and let's start with ethics, and then we can move into. I really want to talk with you about the individual health and population health impacts of factory farming.
Okay.
So obviously there are there's a disturbing amount of cruelty that happens in factory farming. So could you maybe tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, it's what makes it especially horrendous is that there's little or no legal protection for the vast majority of these animals. And the Humane League, for instance, we want a world where all animals are treated with some respect and compassion. Just as there are laws that you can enforce to prevent dog and cat cruelty, we would prefer a world, obviously, where there was at least some legal protection. There is little or none right now. And given that some people still don't realize that in the world of all the animals that are suffer from some abuse or neglect, literally 98% of them are made up of farm animals. So it's an urgent issue. And animal advocacy for farmed animals is growing, but there is still not as many resources dedicated to it as there should be.
Right. And why should there be? Why does it matter?
Well, as you pointed out, it's not just good. Meat reducing or going vegetarian or even vegan is not only good for the animals. It's good for individuals' health. It's good for health on a community-wide basis. And it's better for the earth environmentally.
And maybe, I think that I'm reading a book now that's specifically about animal ethics and whether or not you should be able to whether or not humans should be eating animals, whether or not they're humanely raised or not. So is there something from your perspective or from the perspective of the Humane League, is there something inherently important about protecting animals that has nothing to do with us as human beings? Like that doesn't have a direct benefit for us?
Yes, I think if there's a recognition that they can suffer, that they have a central nervous system and they can suffer from neglect or abuse. And there is a way to practically prevent or reduce that suffering, then yes, it behooves us to do so when we have that power over them.
Because we're responsible for our own actions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because that I think a lot of people would look at what's happening in these factory farms, the kinds of really terrible conditions that animals are living in and the modifications to their bodies and things like that, and say, well, it's bad, but it doesn't really make a difference. It's not hurting anybody. Like humans. I think that there's a very like human-centric viewpoint about this issue.
There is, but that is changing. And I think that eventually it will change in the same way that is, as I to go back to my point before, there are many laws that are enforced that prevent to prevent cruelty, for instance, to our companion animals, our dogs and our cats. So basically what we want to do is extend that same concern to farmed animals. There's no controversy. I think 99.9% of people would agree that preventable suffering of dogs and cats is something, a goal that we should all be looking towards.
Right.
So we similarly want to move that same concern to farmed animals.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, that the only solution for that is for people to stop eating meat and stop eating dairy and eggs?
I think the most direct and effective way is to meat reduce or to cut back on dairy and eggs. Certainly there are smaller farms where there are far less abuses. And we're not really in the, from a personal standpoint, I think that that's much better than a factory farm, but I prefer to simply simplify the problem for myself by sticking to a completely, you know, vegan diet.
Right. And how have you been able to kind of navigate the social speed bumps that come with being vegan? Unless everybody you surround yourself with is also vegan, then there's got to be a lot of issue. How do you deal with that?
There's many ways to deal with it. And in fact, when I mentioned earlier how I made exceptions, I made fewer and fewer exceptions as I got more and more into being vegan, but certain tricky social situations were the hardest. Family situations, both with my own immediate family and my in-laws, and also when I travel. So when it comes to family situations or even dinner party situations, if there's any way possible that I can bring a dish ahead of time that I can share with everyone and show them how delicious vegan food is, that's, I will always do that. I will make a point of contacting a host, even if it's in my own family, ahead of time, and saying, what can I bring? And reminding them, perhaps, if they're not aware, that these are the things that I don't eat. But I do not demand that they make something special for me. I'll generally offer to bring something myself. That helps a lot. As far as travel goes, I would say plan as much as you can and just be very friendly yet outspoken about what you want when you're eating in a restaurant, especially in a different country. If you try hard, you'd be surprised what restaurants are willing to do.
Yeah, restaurants have oil as well as butter.
Exactly.
They can easily use that too. Just had some friends over yesterday, and I made, I used to work in food service before I got into public health. So one of the reasons why I wanted to try going vegan is because I wanted to learn how to cook new types of food. And so I made homemade seitan sausages, and we grilled them, and everybody, including myself, was shocked at how good they were. And it was just like, wow, this is what I've read about online, bringing food to people, showing them that it's not scary, showing them that it does taste good, and that's like a big way of doing outreach for veganism.
It completely is, because sometimes the very word vegan will scare someone off before they are willing to even try a product or a new kind of food. So if you can just convince them to take that first bite, that's often all that it takes.
Yeah, and I think that for a lot of people, there are probably plenty of products or, you know, processed foods out there that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm thinking like a chicken patty.
Absolutely.
Something like that would be, I mean, you can tell the difference between a seitan sausage and a pork sausage for sure. But if you think about it like, okay, this is seasoned flavored protein, much like pork is, maybe it's less scary. I talked about how I made it and how it was all steamed and then grilled, and it was really fun. It was cool to like see.
Well, that's wonderful news to hear. I'm glad you had such a positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, of course, some people I'm sure wouldn't be so positive, but these were all adventurous eaters.
Okay,
so I was lucky. What's going on with Philly Veg Fest?
Philly Veg Fest, we're very excited. The Humane League is very excited to be sponsoring this inaugural event. Philly Veg Fest is a day-long celebration of all the benefits and advantages of a plant-based diet. It's going to be Saturday, June 14th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Shambles, which is an open-air structure on 2nd Street in Philadelphia between Lombard and Pine.
Oh, like right, there's a little parking lot there.
Exactly. It's
there's
nearby.
A Rite Aid and a Wawa.
That's exactly yep. where it is. It's a very nice, we're excited. It's a central yeah. location. You know, that's a lively area on the weekends. So we hope to attract all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a vegetarian or a vegan to attend and have a great time. We're going to have vegan cooking demos. Lots of vegan vendors will be selling and sampling vegan food. There's no admission to Philly Veg Fest. And there's going to be plenty of other exhibitors as well and other animal-friendly vendors.
That's great. Are there are there things for kids to do, too?
We're hoping to have some kid-friendly activities as well.
Mm. So what was the... Why did you guys decide to co-sponsor or get on board with this? Whose idea was it originally, and how did you guys get involved?
We were surprised when we realized that Philadelphia didn't have a veg fest, because second only to New York, I think, it's the most vegan-friendly city on the northeastern seaboard.
Really?
I would guess. I don't have some metric to prove that, but I really feel that way because of the explosion of vegan restaurants and vegan-friendly restaurants mm-hmm. over the last several years. There's just such heightened awareness of mm-hmm. A plant-based diet and enthusiasm for it in the city. So even though we were that vegan-friendly, we were one of the few northeastern cities to not have a veg fest. Mm-hmm. Most other cities have one, if not more, vegetarian festivals. So we just thought, well, let's, you know, what are we waiting for? Let's
right.
do it.
Yeah. And so how long has it been in the works?
Since last November, December.
Okay. So not that long, actually. Six
no,
months?
No, yeah.
To put that together, that's a big accomplishment.
Well, knock wood, everything will go
It'll
well.
It'll be great.
It's rain or shine, because the shambles good. Is covered.
Right, right.
So,
are there going to be vegetarian food trucks there? Are you having any of that kind of thing?
No, you know what? Most of it's... Like I said, all the vendors will have, there will be many, many vegan food vendors, but mm-hmm. this is going to be a setup underneath the shambles itself.
Oh, okay. Right, because isn't that where Head House Market is?
Yeah, that's where the farmer's market is right. on Sundays.
Am I making up that name, Head House Market? Or is it just...
Head House Square. Head House Square District is the general area.
Right.
Yeah, which, and you know, they also, there's lots of events go down there, mm-hmm. go on there during the spring and summer. So, look, we want to have food trucks eventually.
Right.
We're in a finite space, but I'm sure that this is going to expand in subsequent mm-hmm. years. We'll grow it, and we'll try to include everyone.
Yeah. How are you advertising?
Lots of social media, of course, mm-hmm. and good old-fashioned word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We've sent out press releases to all the major media outlets, and that's going to be heating up more and more over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been that hard to publicize it, because there are so many animal supporters and vegans, also for reasons of health,
right,
that are in the city already, that the word is out.
Yeah, it seems like if we do have such a huge vegetarian vegan population in, or that we're already amenable to it, that people are probably just waiting for
yes.
some kind of festival.
How did you hear about it?
I was trying to remember. I think it must have been Twitter or Facebook. It was probably
okay.
social media. I think it was Twitter probably.
Yeah. We've also just been doing some good old fashioned postering around town.
Right.
Yeah. So
do you have an idea of how many people you expect?
I'm hoping for a minimum of 2,000 over the course of the day. It's super hard to tell, though, with a first-time event.
Yeah, it is. It's totally, like, it could either be on the smaller side, or you could have three times as many people as you think.
Goodness.
Which would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes.
That would be wonderful.
The more, the better.
Yeah.
I want everybody to come, everybody to enjoy it, everybody to try some kind of food they'd never tried before.
So is part of the goal to expose people to food that they might not otherwise
completely.
Try.
Completely. This is not an exclusive club for people who are already vegan by any means. We want everyone to come, everyone to feel welcome. And this is such a comfortable and friendly and warm environment and to experiment with these, you know, try new foods.
Do you think that there's some apprehension among the omnivorous majority of people that vegetarians and vegans are kind of not warm and welcoming?
Not necessarily. I certainly don't want it. I don't want a vegan club. I want a more animal-friendly world. So every time someone tells me that they were able to cut down on their meat consumption a little bit or switch out one product for another, like they've switched to almond milk or soy milk instead mm-hmm. of dairy milk, I'm thrilled. Mm-hmm. And I embrace that, and I want them to be part of my, you know, part of my life, part of my circles, part of my outreach.
Mm-hmm. Because you are a big advocate for the incremental approach, right?
Because the Humane League has a fairly extensive research arm of them called Humane League Labs. And one of the things that we have found literally is that people who went into it more gradually, step by step, tended to stay that way.
Why is that?
Longer. Because if you've never eaten vegan before, it's a pretty big challenge, unless you already know exactly where you're going to go and how you're going to do it, to make a huge change like that overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's far easier to say, you know what, I'm giving up chicken, or I'm going meat-free one day a week.
Mm.
Gradual reduction is just, it's less overwhelming.
And I would imagine that you can kind of, if you say, I'm not eating beef, no, I'm not eating chicken, no, I'm not eating fish, you don't feel as restricted.
Exactly. You don't feel deprived.
Right.
You don't feel deprived. And on a similar note, that's why we encourage programs, for instance, like Meatless Mondays.
Right.
That's a huge part of our outreach effort.
So tell me about that. I've heard of Meatless Mondays before, but I don't know.
Sure.
Well, did it start with you guys?
It did not. It started with the School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
Quite a while ago. And it actually has even deeper roots than that. I believe it goes back to, it's either World War I or World War II, an effort to save resources, people were encouraged to eat less meat one day a week. So Johns Hopkins School of Public Health revived it several years ago. And basically, wherever you want to start a Meatless Mondays campaign, you're welcome too. So we mm-hmm. jumped in right here in Philadelphia. It was late fall, I believe, the Philadelphia City Council passed a resolution supporting Meatless Monday. So that was a terrific start.
That's awesome.
Yes. And we are now reaching out to schools, hoping that they will adopt a similar policy.
So what is it? What are you advocating for?
That one day a week, you basically, for instance, in the case of Philadelphia School District, you have a day that's all vegetarian in the cafeterias.
Mm-hmm. And how do you encourage people to do that?
Well, for one thing, as we've been an example in this particular facet of Meatless Mondays, we remind people, in this case the school district, it will not cost them anything more to do this. We mm-hmm. remind them that kids already enjoy all sorts of vegan and vegetarian foods, because mm-hmm. we've done some outreach. Kids tend to really enjoy pizza or mm-hmm. pasta, rice and beans, chilies, right. vegetarian chilies, hummus plates. There's all sorts of kid-friendly foods out there
right.
that are good for them and better for the planet.
People eat vegetarian and vegan food all the time and don't realize it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that is something that is really important to talk about in general, is that if you eat a plate of vegetables and hummus and pita bread, that's a vegan meal right there.
That's a vegan meal, and it's a healthful one. Yes.
Right. It's good for you, it tastes good, and it just so happens that it doesn't have any animal products. And that, I think, realizing that could make a big difference for a lot of people.
Yes, reminding them that there's already, by default, so many natural vegetarian dishes out there.
Right.
And perhaps we forget about that because meat consumption has tended to steadily increase mm-hmm. most of the time. But now I think we're starting to see a bit of a reversal of that trend.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing somewhere that beef prices are going way up. Or they, in the last month, they've gone up more than they have in like the last few decades or something like that. So that could very easily
sure
help with Meatless Mondays.
Yes, absolutely. And not to mention that there's many cost-effective ways to have a Meatless Monday. Rice and beans, if you're willing mm-hmm. to do a little bit of cooking, are very easy on your wallet.
Mm-hmm. So do you provide recipes for people? What kind of resources does the Humane League provide?
Sure. First off, we do have, in our Philadelphia office, for example, we just published a new version of it, a Greater Philadelphia Area Veg Dining Guide, and it covers the suburbs as well as the city. So it basically lists every restaurant that is vegetarian, vegan, or vegan friendly. But we also have information on grocery store chains that are also vegan friendly, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Mom's Organic Market. There's a lot of resources at your fingertips, whether or not you're cooking.
How does someone get a hold of that book?
You can, first of all, we're distributing it mostly at any restaurant that wants to distribute them. So if you go hit a number of vegan-friendly restaurants throughout the Center City and Philadelphia South Street area, you're going to find stacks of them. You can also contact the Humane League to see where the closest one of the dining guide would be. And I also wanted to point out that there's, even if you don't have anything in hand, there are online resources that are wonderful. The website vegphilly.com, which worked closely with us to create our print guide, is a fabulous resource for someone looking for vegan-friendly eating. So I encourage you to visit vegphilly.com.
Do they have the map?
It has a map function.
Yeah.
Yes. And there is also a website called vegguide.org, which is national, actually international. So it includes Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, but everywhere else as well.
Oh, that's really good to know.
Yeah.
Because if you find yourself in a, if you ever leave the city of Philadelphia, which most people do, it's good to have some kind of.
There's many sources. Yeah. Go to vegguide.org and you'll find everything. And it has all sorts of filters by cuisine, by price range, by neighborhood.
Yeah. I was playing around on the website with the map function and I found that there are no vegetarian or vegan friendly restaurants within the direct, like right around me. And I was very disappointed.
Oh, well.
At least that were listed.
What was your radius? Like,
it was all of Philadelphia. The closest stuff was in Center City.
There's tons of things in South Philly.
I know.
Yeah.
But it didn't come up on the map.
Okay. They didn't have listed on the, got it.
Which I thought was interesting because there's a lot, there's a ton of restaurants
around
where I live and lots of different types of cuisine. So I expected more variety, but nothing came up. So I
bet go to those resources that I suggested.
Yeah, interesting. So what else, do you guys provide any other kinds of resources through the Humane Society?
Well, I touched briefly on our humane ed presentations. That's where we approach usually high school or college level classes, but we also will go to any community group and we talk to them about factory farming and what you can do about it and the nutritional and health aspects of going vegan or, you know, switching slowly to vegan. So that's another resource. Mm-hmm. And we're always happy to refer people to other websites that have more in-depth information. Mm-hmm. It's actually never been easier to look up vegan recipes on the internet.
There's a million of them. There really are. It's hard to know which ones are going to work out well, though. The baking is the one that always...
Yes.
Like, baking has got to be the hardest one to try to figure out.
Baking, if you're switching into being a vegan cook, I wouldn't recommend necessarily jumping right into baking, but there's a lot of great cookbooks out there now as well.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we've got access to, there's wonderful vegan bakery options here in Philadelphia too.
Like what?
Vegan Treats, which is based out of Bethlehem, but delivers its desserts to restaurants throughout Philadelphia, is fabulous.
Oh.
Fabulous. That's, I would suggest going out of your way to try their cupcakes, their cakes. They're unparalleled. Sweet Freedom is a vegan bakery on South Street, all allergen free.
Right.
That, fabulous and delicious.
That is incredible.
And they're growing. They've got three stores now. One
really?
In there's one on South Street, the one in Collingswood, New Jersey, and then a third one that's going to open in the suburbs in Bryn Mawr, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that place is crazy because it's gluten-free, vegan. What else? Like,
free of all the common allergens.
Yeah.
No nuts. So no peanuts and no tree nuts. No dairy and eggs, obviously. No wheat. So no gluten-free. Trying to think if there's any. Oh, I believe it's soy-free as well. But their desserts are wonderful.
Wow.
They're beautiful and they're delicious.
That's just so cool that exists and that it's expanding because it really does allow all people to be able to enjoy something that tastes good. And you could bring those cupcakes or those pastries anywhere and everybody can eat them unless they have some really obscure food allergy, in which case, sorry. So I would like to hear from you a little bit more about vegan vegetarian dining in Philly, like what your personal experience has been. Like, have you found particular places that you really like or places that you wish would have more options? And then my second question, the sub question to that one, sure, is how can you find cafes that stock soy milk or almond milk? Because it's really hard to find.
Oh, okay. By cafes, you mean a coffee house?
Like a coffee shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Some are definitely more vegan friendly than others, but I find it unusual to find very many coffee houses that don't have at least one non-dairy option. But perhaps you're having a different experience.
I have been to a few cafes that only had dairy milk. And granted, I've only been doing this for 2 weeks, so I haven't been paying that much attention. But it was enough that I was like, wow, am I going to really have to not get coffee out? Is that one of the things that's going to change?
I feel that it already has changed. First of all, the big chains all have it. Every Starbucks has soy milk, as you probably know. But there are other, some smaller, more regional chains that are very good about it. Are you familiar with Joe's?
Yeah.
There's one in the Rittenhouse area and one in University City. And they not only have soy milk, but they have it out on the bar.
Right.
You don't have to ask for it specifically, which is kind of nice.
That is really nice. Yeah. There's one the one in University City is on Drexel's campus.
Okay.
So I've been there quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Their coffee's good. And their tea is really good too. So yeah, what has your experience been like eating out in Philly?
So positive. There are so many choices. Just off the top of my head, I can remember years ago when your main choices were limited mostly to some of the all-vegan places in Chinatown. And those still exist, like New Harmony, restaurants like that. And those are terrific, but now there's so many other places. Just to randomly start with one neighborhood, the South Street corridor is a vegan paradise. That's one of the reasons that we're excited to be holding the Veg Fest where we are. Because just around the corner from the Veg Fest is Blackbird Pizzeria, which has fabulous vegan pizza and vegan cheesesteaks. There is Tattooed Moms, which is a very vegan-friendly bar. There's a super great vegan-friendly pub scene going on in Philadelphia. Yeah, Tattooed Moms always has terrific vegan options on its menu.
That's good to know.
Yes, yes.
Because that's a good location, too.
Yes.
Right on South Street.
And we hold a monthly vegan drinks event there where everyone is welcome. The vegan burgers are half off.
Oh, nice.
And that's every third Wednesday of the month from 7 to 9 p.m. at Tattooed Moms. So that's another way.
That's great.
If you're interested in transitioning to the vegan lifestyle, going to events like this and finding other people is a terrific way to ease the transition.
That's really, and it's great that the vegan burger is half off.
The vegan burger is half off. It's $3. Okay. You can't lose.
Wow. That's awesome. That's great. I was at Royal Tavern just recently, and they had seitan buffalo wings. Oh my God, they were to die for. They were so good. I have now started experimenting with making my own buffalo sauce at home.
That's great.
Because it was so good and I just want to eat it every day.
That's another example of the, for lack of a better term, the vegan gastropub scene growing by leaps and bounds. And the new bar you mentioned earlier, Charlie Was a Sinner, that's sort of the culmination of it. But there's so many others all around the city.
It is really exciting now that I've pushed myself into learning more about it. Knowing that there are lots of options out there is great. So, remind me again when VegFest is?
VegFest is Saturday, June 14th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
All right. And it's totally free.
Totally free.
Just drop in.
Just drop in.
Maybe I'll get myself a slice of Blackbird pizza. That's the next place on my list of places to go.
Oh, you haven't been?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
No. They don't deliver to my house. I don't think they deliver at all, actually. So...
They do.
They do? Mm-hmm. Do you have to call?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the problem. I was trying to order online. Okay.
But Blackbird's a great one.
Yeah.
To hit. I hope you've been to Hip City Veg.
I have.
Okay.
But that was like long ago. That had nothing to do with this. And to do with the fact that it was a good restaurant close to.
They're growing too. You know, there's two of them now.
Oh, where's
this? There's one in University City.
Where is it?
on, is it 40th Street? I forget the exact address.
Oh, yeah. Like by Penn.
And it's much, much bigger too. More seating.
That's so good because it's always
recommend
crazy
trying.
Crowded there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the woman who opened Hip City Veg is the one who started Charlie Was a Sinner. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're seeing a little bit of growth.
Absolutely.
Kind of those restaurant dynasties that Philly is so saturated
That's
with.
Going as well as the smaller independents.
Right.
Have you heard about Vegan Commissary?
I have.
That's very new.
Is that? Where is that?
That is on. It's so new that I don't even know if we have the address of it in our.
Is it on Passio?
Print guide. I think that it is.
Yeah. I think I've walked past
it. 1703 South 11th Street.
Oh.
That's where it is.
Okay.
Miss Rachel's Pantry is on Passyunk. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
They do catering, too?
They do catering.
Yeah.
They have a wonderful sort of a communal Friday night dinner there.
Right.
She'll be at the Veg Fest.
Well, I'll have to go meet her then. So if somebody wants to learn more about Veg Fest, how can they do that?
The website is phillyvegfest.org, phillyvegfest.org.
Mm-hmm.
So that has all the information and updates on speakers and exhibitors.
Great. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you?
They can email me at info@phillyvegfest.org.
Great. Well, thank you very, very much for talking with me. This was awesome. And now I have a million restaurants I want to go to.
Thank you.
So that was Lydia Chaudhry. I'm looking at the veg dining guide that Lydia left for me. And it's really cool. It has lots of information. So there's like the name of the restaurant, and then it is each restaurant is rated on a scale of 1 to 3. So it tells you if there's at least one good vegan option, several good vegan options, or many substantial and creative vegan options, making up most or all of the menu, which is pretty cool because it lets you know, like, are you going to go and there's going to be just like a wrap for you, or are you going to have lots of things to choose from? And there, seriously, there's got to be like over 150 restaurants in here. And then they also tell you, they have a list of groceries, like grocery stores and chain restaurants that are vegetarian and vegan friendly. They also tell you if the restaurant is cash only, which if you are based out of Philadelphia, then you know how important that is, because like half of the restaurants in the city are cash only, and it's always annoying when you go and you don't have enough cash and then you have to pay the ATM fee. So that's really good. And there's great, like, I'm just gonna read to you a couple from Center City that have 3 hearts. So we've got Hip City Veg, New Harmony, which is Chinese, a Vietnamese and Thai restaurant that I cannot pronounce and I will not butcher it, Veggie Lovers, Veg Underdogs. Like, it is, Philadelphia's got great vegan dining options. So I'm definitely going to go to Veg Fest. If you want to go to Veg Fest and you want to hang out and say hello and eat some Blackbird pizza with me, let me know, because it'd be awesome to have some fun people to come with me. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll be back with you soon. Thanks so much for listening to Action Phase. You can find me, Tegan, on Twitter at Tegan Keating. That's TEAGANKEATING. And on my site, TeganK.com. You can find Action Phase on Twitter at Action Phase Pod and on ActionPhasePodcast.com. You can feel free to email me at ActionPhasePodcast@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.